Father, we come to before you on the Sunday to worship you and to engage your presence and to learn from you and to be with you. Thank you for always that that we have this class, that we're able to study your word. We have this opportunity to learn about all the promises that you've given us. And these promises lie within your name itself. And as we learn about Jehovah Rapha, Lord, we really cling on to this name of yours that you revealed. That's not only to Moses and the Israelites, but you're revealing this to us. And in our times of needs and areas of need, and sickness and illnesses, and discomforts that we have, that your name will heal us, Lord, when we cry out to you. We thank you for this class this morning. May your spirit be here. May your spirit work within us, and just give us a good time in studying your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we ended at bitter water to sweet water, right? What did God make in the desert? You guys remember? What did God make in the desert?
Sweet water.
Sweet water, yes. And what do we call it? What do we call it? Well, what do I call it? Gatorade. Yeah, you know, that's that really helped me to remember this whole. What God did is that not only did he turn water from bitter water to sweet water, but the minerals in the water were very helpful. If those minerals were exactly the same minerals that you would find in Gatorade, these things that would help with their dehydration, right? Walking in the desert, lower sugar was good. Someone like me needs lower sugar. If it's too much sugar, it would be really bad for me. So we made, God made Gatorade for them. And last week, Pastor James and also Peter kind of want to go forward. I said, wait, hold on. We have more next week. And they said, what would be the reason why God would bring them into this state of dehydration after coming out of Egypt, after experiencing the parting of the Red Sea? Why do you think that God would bring the Israelites into this place where they're so dehydrated, they're about to die? What does that do? Right? Why would he bring them out there? Why would he say, I am Jehovah Rapha, I'm your God, your healer, when no one's really sick? No one was really sick. Yes, they were dehydrated. Maybe God could be their provider, right? But God wanted to reveal the fact that he is their healer. But no one's really sick at that time. That wasn't the context of the story, where they had diseases and illnesses. So why do you think that God is revealing to them that, hey, I am your healer when no one is sick? What do you think that? Should we break up into small groups? Or too early? Too early? Hey, I was dehydrated this weekend. I didn't know. Okay. And just yesterday, when I was driving, because I had a huge headache, and I said, I don't know why, I connected the dots. I'm like, oh, I'm teaching on this on Sunday, but I'm dehydrated, and I had a headache. I was irritable. I was confused. I still have it today. I don't know why. But then I drank some water and drank some coffee, but as I was having this whole conversation with myself and with God, and I'm like, this is strange. And God says, hey, no, you are talking about dehydration, right? In this passage, what happens, right, when we are dehydrated? And that was true. That's what I was feeling. I was irritated, and obviously, when your head hurts, things are you're not thinking correctly. You're not feeling that good. And when I felt that way, and I'm relating it to what we're studying, and we're asking, why would God say, I'm your healer when you're not sick? I'm dehydrated, but usually I don't associate dehydration with sickness. I just need to drink more water, right? So drink more water and your headaches go down. And then associating that, I'm like, why? I still couldn't get it. I said, why would God say, I'm your healer when you're not sick? And I realized that when life gets uncomfortable, God says, pay attention to that area where you're irritable, where you're confused, when you have your headaches. Pay attention to that. Sometimes we don't pay attention to why we're irritable, why we're confused. And imagine the Israelites, right? Though the problem was that they're dehydrated. But you know, we learned last week that they were close to death when they're on the third day, right? Everyone's reacting differently. Imagine, some people are like, I'm more fit, I'm better. I have a few headaches. But a more of a feeble person, I'm sure there were a few out of the millions, well, elderly, they're saying, I can't even function. I'm so irritable. I'm confused. I'm about to die, right? And when life is uncomfortable, these things tend to happen more, right? You get more irritable. You get more confused. You get more angry, maybe. What was the event that has happened in the past 2 years or 3 years that kind of made us feel uncomfortable? COVID? Kind of. That's kind of like that, right? Even if you weren't sick from it. Yeah, Bob.
So I'm just imagining being by myself right now. I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah.
I want to
please do.
Play the groundwork first. That makes me feel comfortable when I think of myself. And
okay.
So my first thought is that there is something wrong with us, even though we're not physically sick. God sees that there is something wrong with us. That's what he's doing.
What's wrong with us? Jehovah Rapha, I need healing. I'm sick. You know, I need healing.
But they're not sick, right?
Okay.
But there is something wrong with them.
What's wrong with them?
Feels that there should be some healing. That there should be some healing. What's wrong with them now? They're irritable, right?
They're irritable? Okay.
Like what you said, you're saying.
Yeah.
Feels good. Thirsty.
Right. Pastor James has something good. He said he was going to be back, and I was waiting for him. But he's not here, right? So I can't, he's the one who brought up this question, right? Why? He said, why? In this class, if we're going to talk about Jehovah Rapha, we have to ask why. Why did God have to heal them? And you're right, Bob. They're not sick in that sense where, you know, we understand the sickness. If you had a cold, you had whatever, physical illnesses. But when the dehydration, when something like COVID comes along, it brings about an awareness of, wow, it magnifies certain things deep inside us that we realize, well, wow, I'm so irritable of this thing. I didn't know why. Maybe because certain things that's internal, right? So I think Cindy mentioned it last week. They just got out of Egypt. They're still confused. They're dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. They hit this water shortage, and that is a problem. God solved it right away. But what's deeper in this story is that this is bringing out a lot of issues, right? And with the Israelites. And Cindy mentioned, like, they don't even know what's going on. They're kind of feeling, they still feel oppressed. And we didn't talk about this last time, but Cindy mentioned it. But one was, I'm sure a lot of people were dealing with doubts, right? Why did I even come out here? Why did I even come out here? Okay, the numbers. Physical, emotional abuse. There is a life where subjected to forced labor, harsh working conditions, long hours, right? If you were a slave, we haven't been a slave, but if you were doing that for all your life, right? They were in Egypt for how many years? 400 years? Loss of identity. All they know in their life was being slaves. They don't even know who they are. They're separated from their families. Just a lot of trauma, right? Helplessness and hopelessness. I highlighted this part. This is from a commentary where they mentioned that these were possibly all the things that the Israelites were facing, but it's internal. You can call them illnesses, mental illnesses, but it's all internal. And this dehydration scene, this water shortage scenario was really to bring this out inside of them. Do I really trust God? Why do I even come out here? I want to go back, right? They voiced it. I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to all of this. And I didn't see this. They had a lot of fear and anxiety, fear of that God is still going to punish them. Because they saw how God punished all the Israelites. And somehow, they might feel like we're going to still get punished. Especially when they're out in the desert, they're about to die again. And you think, no, they just saw God perform miracles. God's not going to punish me. God's not going to punish them. But I'm just wondering how many of us feel like sometimes God is punishing us, even though God, Jesus rose from the dead. I believe in Jesus. Yes, Bob?
No, I'm agreeing.
You're agreeing. Okay, all right. How many of you guys feel like God is punishing you sometimes? No? Do you guys feel that way? Some? Some or no? Not always. Yeah, not always. But many do, right? Some do, some not. Do you feel that? Rev's like, no? Yeah, she doesn't. She's really holy. No. That's great. You guys have a very special bond, I know. Yes. That's great.
I used to.
You used to?
Yeah.
Why did you used to?
I think it's still like something about like, you know, he's God, he's holy, right? I have to, even though I know like grace is not earned, right?
Uh-huh.
But it's still like, I feel like, oh, if I failed him or I fallen into sin,
yeah.
There's still like punishment there.
Ooh, yeah.
You know? Until I had the truth.
You had the truth.
Spoken to me. You know?
What was the truth spoken to you?
No, I until like, you know,
yeah.
I went to, you know, the discipleship program.
Uh-huh.
It was just kind of unveiled.
Yeah.
Where,
okay.
Where no, like God sees you as he sees Jesus.
Right.
And that's just like eye opening for me.
Right.
And now it's never about punishment. There's consequences to your sin, but it's never God saying like, oh, you did something wrong, I'm gonna punish you.
Mm.
It's never like that.
Right.
I don't
right.
see it like that. And that's true.
Yeah. So bad things can come upon your life, but the way you're viewing that is very different now. Right? But there are many, many times that, and many people that I talk to that still sees Christians, believers. Of course, non-believers are like, that's God. He's the punisher, right? But they still feel like God's punishing me. And I better do better things, do more things so that he won't punish me anymore. Is that true?
I do feel that from time to time, but then I realize that's the enemy lying to me. That's not the truth.
Good.
See, I get, I don't know about everyone else, but from time to time, I know what the truth is, but the enemy, sneaky.
Right? Sneaky.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And I start like do a name drop thing. Hey,
oh,
you did this. Uh-oh. Right?
And then I'll do a name drop, like he's calling you names to believe, right?
Right. And then I believe it maybe for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually I think my God's, you know, love for me reveals to me
mm-hmm.
this is a lie. It's not the truth.
Right.
I am the truth.
I forgave all your iniquities. I'm going to heal all your diseases, right? Yeah.
So it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
See, like each incident, you think you're being punished, it's a process.
Mm.
Like that process could be like a minute or 2 minutes or 2 hours, 2 days, right? It's a process. Right? It's like the process of the enemy lying and then you believe it and then wait a minute, God's like, no. Sometimes, you know, not all the time.
Yeah.
We know the truth.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Bob, for sharing that. So it's kind of when the enemies plant this thought into you and all of us, it's not that we don't think about this, but we combat it by the truth and we declare it. I heard this somewhere and I forgot whoever I heard it from, but he said one way to gauge whether we are growing in the spirit and staying close to God is by measuring how soon we can declare the words of God when bad thoughts come in, right? Sometimes when something lands, right, and it burns us and it creates a forest fire, it takes us days and weeks and years, months and years to kind of revert that. But then there's a way to grow in God and grow closer to God and not allow those words to implant in us. Because if you say, oh, if the time duration is shorter, you're like, oh, this thought came in, but then God's word came in just right after. You know that whatever is happening there is a good indication that you have God's word in you and you're utilizing it and you're drawing closer to God, right? So I think there's a, again, this is kind of off topic, but I think there's a correlation there. The duration of how soon you bring God's word, you know, allow God's word to cover the enemy's word and to repel enemy's word. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just looking at, actually, I was thinking about, like, you know, why because God allowed them to, like, be dehydrated mm-hmm. and taste the bitter water, right? And I think, like, even in my own life, the process that God has worked on healing me is, like, through, like, revelations, right? Like, small revelations about my own bitterness or areas mm-hmm. that I didn't know existed, mm-hmm. right? And I think, like, I'm reading, like, right before this is like my the subtitle of my Bible says like the Song of Moses, right? So they're like singing to the Lord, like the Lord is triumphing,
yes.
glorious. He throws the horse and the rider into the sea. He parts the waters. He like, you know, like all these like great things, right?
Right.
So if you read that, that's the song that they were singing like right before this.
Yes, yeah.
These are not people who need any
sure.
healing. They're like doing great, you know? And I think like sometimes we don't realize that we have bitterness in our heart. We have areas that he hasn't revealed to us. He always reveals that when they went through that 3 days of dehydration,
yeah.
right? Like, I think in my life too, like, if I don't go through these things, I don't realize that I have still these areas that he needs to heal. Right?
Mm.
And I think just like children, right, they have to first taste the bitter water, like, ugh, this is gross, and then I taste the sweet Gatorade, then
right.
I know it's sweet, right? It's
right.
the same thing in their life, right? Like, they realize, oh, I have all this yuckiness, like, in my soul. I'm complaining right after what a big, you know, miracle. I'm complaining 3 days later, you know?
3 days later.
You have to reveal that to them,
yeah.
right? Like, you're not this, you know, these people singing all these beautiful words, you know, it doesn't seem like they have any issues, right? But they do. Right? He put them in 3 days of hardship, and now they see, like, they're bitter in their soul, right? It's not the water that needs healing, per se, it's their themselves, right?
Right.
So, like, not only do they taste the sweet water, but they hear the name of the Lord, the healer, they feel the healing of the bitterness in their own soul from him, and it was given to them, like, they didn't even pray to God. They just complained and he healed them. You know, it's not like they...
Only Moses went to God, right?
Yeah. So
it was not even their faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it was, you know, in a way, like, I see that happening a lot in myself. You know, when God puts me in healing things, I'm like, oh, man, I'm still in need of healing. And then it's
And it just seems like, you know, the conversation earlier that Peter was having, you know, you don't get punished because of your sins, because Jesus was the punished for our sins,
yeah.
the one punished for our sins. But Peter mentioned, but there's consequences for your sin. And I think that there's even more than just consequences, right? Because the scripture tells us that the love of God is so great that he disciplines those he loves, right? So why do you discipline a child? Because you want them to grow and mature and experience, right? And if it's God, you know, he wants us to experience him. And so God's orchestrating even like bitter water for them just 3 days after. And I think it's pretty crazy that both of them have to do with water.
Yeah. One was a great miracle.
Right? So you experience
yeah.
this huge miracle
right.
of God with what he can do to water.
Uh-huh.
Right? And they're, like Cindy was reading, right? It's like they're praising, like, you are the God of, like, you can do things with water, amazing things.
Yeah.
And you can make water swallow up our enemies. And then now they're facing a smaller water issue, right? I mean, it's like the waters of Marah is not like
Yeah, comparatively, right?
Comparatively.
Yeah.
And you just remember, you know, you're praising him for his power over water. And something is being revealed. And I love that in scripture, it's crazy because he says that the Lord tested them. Right? In Exodus 15, verse 25, he said he was doing this to test them. Right? And initially, I think we recoil at that, that God would test us. And I was thinking about like tests, right? Like first, as a student, if it's like a test that you take at school, any good teacher, like when you give tests, you're testing your students on what you've already taught them. Right? Only a bad teacher will test you on something you never learned. That's not, because that's just not fair. And God's fair. So God's testing them on something that he's already teaching them. And a good teacher will tell you the reason why you test students is for what? Peter, why do you think like teachers test students, right?
Check if you're actually learning.
Yeah, right, to make sure that you're learning, because they want you to learn it. But then the other, I don't know what the etymology of this Hebrew word for test is, but another kind of test I was thinking about is like testing like the purity of like metals, right? You know, the goldsmith or whatever is gonna test that metal to make sure that it's like pure and put it through the tests, right? And so, I like what Cindy was saying, because that kind of triggered this mentality for me of like, you know, God is healing them spiritually to truly grab hold of like who he is. Right? Like you were just praising me. Like you were just praising me. You thought you knew who I was. But I'm gonna test you and show that you didn't really know who I was, or it was incomplete. You know,
yeah.
So I'm testing you to lock it in. You know, I'm testing you to purify and make sure, like, you know, that is like locked in. I think that's why a lot of times for me, I feel like, oh man, I thought I've already grown from this. And I was telling Bex a few weeks ago, I'm like, man, God's just not done with me yet. I thought I learned, but I think it's incomplete still. And so thank you, God, that he loves me and he wants to continue to refine me and test me and put me through stuff so I can experience him.
It's a perspective change, right? Because
it's kind of odd. Yeah.
Because you would think, honestly, when I first, you know, when I saw the miracle of the parting the Red Sea, when I first heard about Jesus rising from the dead, and you see him, and you get baptized, you're like, oh, this is a great miracle. This is a miracle of God. Regeneration of the Spirit. Only God can do that. You receive mercy and grace. And then my expectation, I don't know about you guys, was that it's going to get better and better and better. Like, yeah, sure, a little bit of hurting here, but it's going to get better, much better. But like you said, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. It is going to get better, but not the better that we think, what the world thinks, how things are going to get better. But it's going to get better and better spiritually. And that doesn't mean that the physical part is not going to get better either. But it is going to be from glory to glory. It's going to be better and better because you're entering into this kingdom realm, right? It is going to get better. But then you hit these snags, you go through issues. You're like, God's punishing me.
God hates me
because I did this, right? It's a journey. This is in the beginning, right? But then you realize that Peter said, well, it's changed perspective. God's actually revealing some things, right? Well, that's what I was saying too. He's revealing some things inside that he does want to make you better. He does want to heal you. You guys have the same type of, I think we all kind of experience similar things, maybe not exactly, right? But similar journeys. We kind of see ourselves better in these bitter waters, right? It's God saying, hey, there's certain things that that still require you to work on. I still want to restore you in certain areas that you don't even know about. And then we realize, oh, we do need healing, right? Then we realize we do need healing.
I think last time we talked about, sometimes it's good to grumble.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Uh-huh, right.
To grumble, yeah. Because you get to, reflect and express the raw emotions and what you're going through in order for these illnesses or things that you're going through to manifest itself.
Yeah.
So that God can heal you, and he's working with
right.
you to heal it.
Yeah.
Heal those things.
Yeah, you asked, is it wrong to grumble? Right? Towards the end, he's like, no, I don't think it's wrong. I think that's part of the process, right? It starts with the grumbling and, well, hopefully the grumbling, hopefully everything is directed towards God, but it starts there because you don't feel good. Something is wrong, right? You're irritable, you're frustrated, you're angry, whatever it is. But then, like you said, Ed, you realize through that grumbling that something is wrong inside. Just like pain, right? Pain is not necessarily bad. Pain is telling you something's wrong inside your body. That's why there's pain, right? To indicate something's wrong. And you need to go to, and God said, you need to come to me. I'm your healer. I think we also talked about if you don't ever grumble or you don't ever express it, it can cause other issues too. Like you're just repressing it inside. I'm fine. Right? So there's a delicate balance there. Is that what you were referring to here?
Yeah.
Okay, so when that kind of stuff happens, I know we can go even deeper into this, but when you realize I need some healing inside, I'm not just talking about physical, and sometimes physical is probably the most obvious, right? You're sick, you need healing. But here we kind of went into you need healing inside, whatever it is going on inside in your soul. You're like, something's not right. Something's not right. I need some healing, and no one can help me. I need healing from Jehovah Rapha. Right? And that's where God says at the very end, after all the tests, says, I'm the Lord, your healer. Whatever you're fearing inside, whatever you're going through, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm Jehovah Rapha. And Rapha, right, is to restore favor. You don't think you have any favor with me anymore? Because you're out in the desert to heal physical ailment? I can do that, right? To heal individual distress. They certainly had a lot of this. Just because they came out of Egypt, they are saved, just like we are saved. But there's still a lot of individual distress that we, baggages that we carry, right? He's to repair, to make whole. It is not just physical. It is the entire being that Jehovah Rapha is referring to. And Pastor Alex mentioned this, but he's testing them, and you see in this, in the, here, the Lord God, do, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on Egypt. Because they were fearing, hey, I don't want these diseases. God's going to punish me. It is a test. Do you think they kept all these statutes? They obeyed all his commandments? I mean, if you heard that, you guys are like, no, amen. I'm going to get the disease on me pretty soon, because, right? Am I going to do all that's right in God's eyes?
It's interesting that they are tying those diseases to the diseases that God put on the Egyptians while they were there at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So they already experienced something, right?
They, They already experienced protection.
That these are diseases that God punished the Egyptians with.
But God is saying,
yeah,
I won't put, why is God saying that? I won't put it on you. I don't know. Yeah, God's saying, I won't put it on you, though. No, you know, those non-Christians, those non-believers, they go through this. I won't put it on you. Maybe they're feeling that, hey, well, I'm going to get it too pretty soon. What, keep all your statues? I don't know. I'm going to just run through this because that could be very distressing, right? They were never going to fulfill that, even here. I don't know. I think we were, Pastor Alex and I, we discussed it. We were going to talk about Jesus in the Old Testament, right? But I don't think we're going to go that route. Maybe another lesson, but...
But it did already in
this
verse.
And this, yeah.
We did that in Jehovah Mekadesh, the same verse.
Right.
Right? He sanctifies us.
This is all talking about Jesus. Like, do not miss Jesus in these stories, because the fact that God says all these statutes, you know, obey me and all this, the Old Testament is pointing to that you will never fulfill it. Only Jesus will be able to. And we're living in those times, right? And that's, I know you guys all know that, but when I come across this, I have to point it out, because it is pointing to Jesus who fulfilled all of this. Because if Jesus did not come to fulfill this, I think we would be in more distress, because we would have to obey these commandments, and we cannot. By the power of your flesh, you just cannot do it, no matter how hard you try.
And that's why in the Old Covenant they were punished.
And you said, why is God like,
yeah.
Right? So these Israelites are in a hard bind, right? I mean,
that sucks.
It's really hard, yeah.
Just what Pastor Alex was saying, like, you know, they were afraid of they saw what happened to the Egyptians, right? And they were in fear of that it's going to happen to them, right? However, moments ago, they witnessed God's miracles, like, what was it, like the
Part of the Red Sea, yeah.
I'm just wondering, how come that level of fear, like that, not necessarily fear, but like that level of emotion isn't the same as, like, wouldn't you remember, like, if I fear the disease, right, and I saw it, but I also saw the parting of the sea, shouldn't I have that same level of, do you know what I'm saying? That same level of
faith.
Yeah, or
that's what we were talking about last week,
right? Because if they have that fear, do you know what I'm saying, Rex?
I think
you know, getting out of the
yeah,
expressing it.
And I think I kind of have a excuse me to answer, but it's kind of like they saw God as a savior in that sense, but they have yet to see God as the Jehovah Rapha. So they're like, this, it's not the same situation.
Right.
There's no enemy. And so I don't think they have comprehended that God is also Jehovah Rapha, or Jehovah, yeah,
Rapha.
Right? Yet. So I think that's why they're grumbling, because they're like, this has nothing to do with like enemies that are healed. Like, what are you going to do about this situation, God? Like, what about this? I think that's where the grumbling is coming from. And I think that's why it's imperative that God is always revealing all the different names. He's not just God, and that's just going to cover everything, and we should just have faith, period. There's a reason I think God is always revealing to us different aspects of him.
Wow.
And even the testing, it's if he's trying to reveal to us that he's a healer, he tests us in a different way than if he's trying to show us that he is a King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different test in Revelation, or that he's testing us as a father. And so I think here they're rumbling because they're like, well, now what about this one? I don't know if you are a Jehovah Rapha. I don't know if you care about this little dehydration issue rather than, you know, I could exceed.
Yeah, you know, you saved my soul from eternal damnation, right? I have salvation now.
But I'm dehydrated.
But I'm dehydrated now.
Well, it's like you saved me from that, but for what? Now
yeah.
I'm facing a different
death. Yeah, I heard about Jesus rising from the dead. That's great. And now I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I
what
have
about
this problem.
This college? I can't get into college, or I can't get a job.
Well, I have no friends.
Yeah, or
this
issues.
Person broke up with me, you know. My friend said this. How about my family? How about my illnesses? How about my shortcomings? How about what I feel inside?
Isn't that so amazing of God?
You going to help me with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that's, yeah, I love what Rev said, because I, you know, isn't that just so God, it's such a God thing where he's like, I want to keep showing you who I am.
Yeah.
And you know it, you've learned it. You learned it right here in your noggin, but I want you to experience it. I want you to know for sure, like, this is who I am.
The level of fear is higher for that made in us. The level of fear is higher than the level of our faith.
Right.
Yes, God will continue to. God wants to like allows these things to happen to us in our lives. You know, and then you know, he allows these unfortunate things to happen or whatever, right? Like the school or the job or the boyfriend, girlfriend thing or whatever, right? He allows it to happen so that level can surpass that fear, right?
Yeah. It's Pastor Jason mentioned last week too that ultimately this is dealing with our faith, right? This is faith, right? It goes, yes, the big part, the first part of it is, I'm not just Jehovah. I'm not just your God, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healer, because you need a lot of healing. You have a lot of stuff that needs healing, but I am your healer. I'm going to skip that, but these are the certain things that you need. I know number five sounds funny because I deal with that, right? Yeah, that's my personal thing. Number five, I straight up, look, this is the only testimony I remember. I was in college, no, after I graduated, and then there was a, what's that Bible study that people always go to?
BSF,
right, yeah. So I got roped into a BSF session, right? And then I didn't want to go. And then it was in Monterey Park. I remember this. And then everybody went in. It was at night. It was a little house, not on a prairie, it was a little house. And then,
It was great, it was great, but
yes,
I was gonna, I was great. Yes, I actually went and I completed like whole session. But there's one session I'm like, I'm walking in, I'm like, oh, I cannot go. because I really wanted to.
Because it's number five.
Because number five.
Was it number two? Or was it number five?
It was number five. It was come accomplish, number two. Yes. Oh, it was painful. But I couldn't go to number two and I was sitting in my car. I was so mad. I said, why do I have this problem? It's not a regular thing because you have to understand. I struggle with this all my life, ever since I was young. Even now, right? It is a continuous thing. And I was in the car. Nobody taught me this. And then I was, God, why? I am dehydrated. Whatever it is. You said, I'm a child of God, but you, is this healing for me too? God says, why don't you just take your right hand, put it on your stomach, and ask for healing. And this is first time I said, okay, this is dumb. Now I said this, okay, but I will do it because I'm at BSF. And I said, God, this is horrible. I have number five. I just please heal me. That's right, it's funny. But it is the first time I experienced healing. I didn't heal me, but I did this. I was sitting in my car, I remember, sitting in the car in the night. And then the problem, my friends in BSS were like, I saw him in the parking lot. Why is he not coming in? I didn't go in until like the BSS, because it took all that time. And they took it away. Now, do I still have number fives from time to time? Yes. Now I have to watch out what I eat. But I testify, I know something changed that night. Something changed that night. My stomach was much stronger. It's been stronger ever since. It's not that bad anymore. Back then it was bad. It was so bad that it created social anxiety for me. Because I would go to a place and I'm like, hey guys, oh, bye guys. You would never know because I'm good at that. It was bad. It was bad, guys. It was bad. But God healed me. Jehovah Rapha. I didn't know his name. I didn't know his name was Jehovah Rapha. But it's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha healed me. It's like, God, just heal me. I didn't ask. Jesus healed me. I just said, God, heal me. I didn't know what I was praying. I didn't really understand it.
But you have faith.
I have faith. I said, God, I need you to heal. I know you can do it. I'm doing this. I'm just inside the car. Just, God, I know you can do it. I really need it. I really, really need it.
You see the progression.
You're the only person. Yes.
You grumble.
I grumble. Yes, of course I grumble. It hurts. Yes. Yeah.
And you have faith. You're right. You have faith that
that's it. That's simply the process for everyone. That's kind of the encouragement. I put that there. I knew that everyone's going to say, what's number five? How do I go? But there's so many more. It could be anxiety. How many of us deal with anxiety? I do. I grew up with that. It's like, that's like our family thing, right? I'm continuing to work on it. I'm praying for that, right? Mood, mental health, mood, heart condition, whatever it could be. Cognitive functions, social interaction, there's so many things. I mean, this is, I can't focus on reading the Word of God. I kind of, it's a mixed bag. I just put it in there. Many things, whatever it may be, you know that when life gets uncomfortable, things surface up. And God is saying, do not discount that. Pay attention to that. Whatever surfaces up, that's where Jehovah Rapha can come in. That's where I want to show you
or Jehovah, who I am, right? So that I can restore you. And these are healing passages, right? I keep this very close by me all the time because I need healing in many areas, okay? I already told you, number five, I continuously declare that all the time. When I'm going to Peter's house, you know, he's a good cook these days, right? I'm kind of like, oh no, please make my stomach strong today. You guys don't know that, but I say it all the time. When I go into a potluck, make my stomach strong today. I need it because I'm going to be eating some greasy food. Make my stomach strong today. Because you said that you will heal all my diseases, right? He says that, right? Forget not his benefits, right here. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. He took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. Jehovah Rapha. And here's my conclusion, guys. I said, I think by default, we are encouraged to first ask Jehovah for healing and exercise of our faith without disclaimers. Without disclaimers. If we, what I did many times before, like, oh God, you heal me, but oh, I just remember that sickness wasn't healed before, and that person wasn't healed, or this didn't happen, or that didn't happen, because that will happen. I think that that's where the enemy comes in. But I think by default, we should always say, I don't care what I see, because we walk by faith, not by sight, right? I don't care what I see, and it's still hurting. And I asked 5 times before, 5,000 times, but I'm going to continue to ask by faith, because that's what the Bible teaches, that without disclaimers, I would teach this before, but I would not ask without disclaimers before, because I want to reserve a little bit of protect God a little bit, in case he doesn't come through. All right? So I won't ask God for a full healing. I want to reserve it a little bit, but what the heck, right? I mean, why are we studying this? You got to ask, I mean, I'm still asking for full healing of this, but hey, I'm going to just have faith, right? And maybe next week, you'll see more. Maybe it'll be inflamed. I don't know. But when I'm studying this and I'm reading these scriptures, I'm going to just say, you know what? Those who love him, he's going to work all things out for good, right? Plans to prosper me, not to harm me. Plans to give me hope in the future. If they may not look good, but I'm going to keep declaring it. I'm still working through this. This is a theology that I've known about and read about, and but I think I want to experience it. I want to keep pushing forward, because this I can only stand here and say it and teach it maybe and lead it, but I want to experience it even more, because it is faith. It is faith. Jehovah Rapha, right? Yeah, Nancy.
So what would a disclaimer sound like?
I have disclaimers. You want to hear a disclaimer? Sure. Lord, please help me, but I still have gastrointestinal issues.
Or like?
Maybe God just wants me to deal with it. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, similar, like, oh, heal me, But I understand that it runs in the family and it may not be.
It's part of my life.
It's just help me accept it if you're not gonna heal me.
Yeah.
Or even one is like, heal me, but you know, only according to your will, which is not bad, but it can be used as a disclaimer instead. You know, saying, you know, like the Lord told Moses, like, throw the log in the water. And he goes, okay, guys, the Lord told me I'm gonna throw the log in the water, but you know, just in case he doesn't, it's not his will then.
Not yet.
Right, so then it's like protecting God.
I heard wrong.
Right, oh yeah, you know, see, we said, God may not really, you know, have that will for us to have sweet water. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything.
I think
anything,
it's tricky. I think it's kind of tricky.
But the scripture does not have half of a Jehovah Rapha, right? It's Jehovah Rapha, I'm a healer. It just does not, scripture does not have a lot of disclaimers. It's not me. I'm just learning to say, trusting the scripture itself without disclaimers. If Jesus rose from the dead, he never had disclaimer. There's no gray areas about that. It is new to me. This is a new understanding, also a new push in faith for me. Yeah.
Something that I used to struggle with too is, which is, can be a blockage to exercise the faith, is kind of like feeling uncomfortable declaring those promises.
Mm, yeah.
Like, who am I to declare it from the Lord on healing? You know, like, so a lot of times I was struggling. Like, enemy would put like thoughts in my mind where, like, oh, you know, God's not a genie, or like, you know, like, how dare you to declare, you know, this kind of stuff, right? But then these words that, like, you know, he only has what's good for you. He wants you to prosper. He wants to heal you. Then all of these things came into my mind, and it's kind of like, was the sword of the spirit, right? But it just kind of removed all those thoughts. And then now I'm like, you can boldly declare those promises because it is promises from God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does God want us to get to the point of, I'm sure the answer is yes, but does he want us to get to the point of just bypass the problem?
Bypass the what?
I don't
believe
he wants to go though, because we're human.
I think the reason why you will ask God for healing is because you're experiencing pain first, right? If you don't have any issues there, you probably won't ask for healing. You have pain. Ah, it hurts. If it doesn't hurt, it's not pain. It's gotta hurt.
I think there's a difference.
Yeah.
We studied this in the past where there's a little difference between, like, what we call it, murmuring versus like complaining. Right? I think what we're talking about, what's good, is complaining to God.
Yeah.
But if you're murmuring, that's not to God, that is to yourself. That is giving more room for the enemy, right? And that's saying, murmuring is something that we see as a pattern that the Lord doesn't delight in. But here, the verse here actually just says complaining. And they complained to Moses, you know? And so, I think it's...
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, like, actually the grumbling thing. I think the murmuring and the grumbling actually are similar. I was looking up that word that, you know, there's passages that says, don't be like the Israelites who grumbled and cause my wrath, says the Lord, right? You know, I think like grumbling actually, it's a kind of more technical, but like, I think God welcomes us to cry out to him, like to fall before him, cry to him. It says that he's close to the brokenhearted. He wants us to lament. He wants us to, like, you know, show our full emotion. But I think in the beginning, the first lesson, you were saying grumbling is like just mumbling, right? Mumbling without looking for a solution. Or just like staying in that state and like going nowhere and just like complaining and, you know, I don't think it's I think it is, like, you should come to God with your full thoughts, you know, but grumbling, I think, is a specific thing that Scripture actually has said, like, don't do that.
Right.
You know, before the Lord. But yeah, cry out to him, fall before him, you know, show him your heart and everything, right? Like,
I mean, you see David lamenting to the point where it's not even just like sadness. He's like, why, God?
Yeah, right.
Why have you let this happen? Why? But that's directed straight to God. That's bringing your pain to God. And I think that's the model that Scripture gives to us. So I absolutely agree with that. But it's a small thing. I don't want to.
I think that word is a little confusing, but I think whether it be grumbling or complaining.
Let me rephrase that. I mean, yes, we have issues, right? But it's like, I think what I'm trying to say is, instead of me trying to figure it out on my own, I'm gonna go to God first.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's
right.
I'm trying to say.
Right.
So maybe like I just kind of spoke in generalities.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's what I just said is what I meant. Is when we have problems, when we have issues, instead of me trying to figure out on my own, let me go to God first.
Right.
Instead of trying to let me try to figure it out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And to add to that, it's kind of like, you know, you're trying to, you know, when we have like issues, like with our bodies, we're like, oh, what's going on? And we try to self-diagnose, right? And we work with the symptoms that we have, but that's all we know. We don't know the actual prescription of it. We don't know like what the diagnosis actually is, but only God knows. But we need to also say, these are the things that I'm feeling, these are the symptoms that I'm having when you go to the doctor. And then the doctor will say, we need to approach it from this way. And I think we almost need to do that with the Lord as well. Like, I kind of really like the fact that God used dehydration, because dehydration symptoms on different levels have so many symptoms that could be anything else like wrong with our bodies, right?
If you look at weapon D, you're like, oh my gosh, I have cancer.
Or like you're dying, just dying, right? I mean,
dying.
These symptoms of dehydration is like, it could be anything, but only God would know it is dehydration, it is not. But that's not for us to decide. And so I think like, when we have quote unquote like symptoms, we could come to the Lord and almost grumble or complain and say, Lord, I'm having these issues. And then we pause and wait and let the doctor tell us, okay, this is how we're going to address it. And I think that's the part where we say, I'm not going to tell God how to fix this problem. I'm not going to come with dehydration and tell him to give me diabetes medicine or, you know, whatever. And so I think even as you were saying, like, sometimes we're like, when we pray, like we do feel uncomfortable praying for something very specific, because maybe that's not what God is actually asking us to pray about. Like, I think there are times where I'm like, I have an issue and I'm just gonna press in and pray for the result in it going away. But sometimes God's like, actually, I want you to feel it, I want you to understand it, and from this I want you to learn empathy and compassion for those other people who have it. You know, it's I don't know, like, so I think it's part of it is when we present a problem to the Lord, listen to see what name he is revealing himself to be. Is it the healer? Is it a teacher? Is it a friend? Is it whatever? And then we press into that, whatever he reveals, and then, you know. So I think it's kind of like all mixed into one, where our faith is not resting on what we think is the problem and just God resolving it. I think the faith is in, who are you, God, in this situation? What do you want to do? And whatever you say, I'm going to press into that, because that's going to be that diagnosis or treatment or whatever you want to call it.
So you're basically mentioning God's involved in the prognosis.
Yeah.
And the diagnosis, right?
Yeah.
So we need God to use the bitter waters to diagnose, to give us the prognosis. Here's what you're dealing with. Tap into that. Because God is revealing, here's what's wrong, what do you need healing? And then there's diagnosis. In this case, I'm Jehovah Rapha, healing, right? And you press into that. And then when you know it is Jehovah Rapha whom you need, then it's, there's no disclaimer. Do not fear, only believe. That's what Jesus said, right? I think this is, this verse, I didn't put the verse down. It has to deal with Jairus' daughter, synagogue king, right? He says, Jesus, come, please heal my daughter. She's sick. And then the official says, don't bother Jesus, she's dead. And then Jesus has, those are words that I can just implant in you. And even Jesus needed faith, right? He says, no, do not listen to them. Only believe. Do not fear. Only believe. And he did not explain anything else. Jesus told them, do not be afraid, just believe. Nothing else. And I'm like, that's Jesus. That Jesus is teaching us how he responds to Jehovah Rapha. My Lord is my healer. He is the healer. Just believe. Do not be afraid. So when those disclaimers, when those enemy words come in, this is actually a practical way. Do not be afraid. Do not listen to the enemy. Just believe. Believe in God. It's not just believing in yourself, but believe in God who is our healer. And that's it. Yeah? Oh yeah, we are way, we're a little bit over. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that as believers and as your children, under your care, under this new covenant that your son Jesus has established, Lord, help all of us to declare your words of faith, Lord, declare the words that your son would say, do not fear, but only believe. Lord, help us to exercise our faith against the enemy, against those around us who do not believe that you are Jehovah Rapha. Help us to take your word as it is, face value, that you are able to heal and you want to heal and you want to prosper us. And you want to make us whole in all the areas of our lives, from our head to our toes, Lord, we pray that you do heal us in every which way. You understand all of us individually. You understand our distresses. You understand our need. And this morning, we ask that you would tap into all of those areas and you would reveal them to us so that we may experience you as Jehovah Rapha. You are our own healer. You are healer personally, not for the congregation, not for just the group, not for the world. But Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha for us. And from there, our faith will spring forth and we can bring this faith to others, this river of life to those around us who are in desperate need for healing. But they just don't know. They don't know who to go to. They don't know who to ask. Thank you, Lord, you are our Jehovah Rapha, and revealing yourself in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.